Thank you, bro. Appreciate that. You guys can open to Revelation chapter 9. Yeah. I can explain. First, though, I need Ethan. Perfect. You're such a good boy. Boy, I forgot my water. Can you bring that up? EJ. Oh, Sage, right. Okay. Well, as long as the water gets up here at some point, you know. Yeah, great. Really excited about the camp, about the theme. Been a great start. Don't know about you guys. Oh, hey, you're the brave one. Okay. Thank you. We'll dive right on in here, though, and we'll make sense of the 21 points here in a minute. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them, as scorpions of the earth have power. And they were not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. And they will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tail is power to hurt men for 5 months. And they have as their king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes still coming after these things." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I just thank you so much for your church. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We're so thankful for your grace, for your spirit who indwells us. Lord God, we just thank you. You are a perfect heavenly Father, who has not called us out of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of your Son just to leave us, but you have equipped us as your mighty army to carry out your will. What a great picture we get this weekend of a victorious King Jesus, but alongside him, his church, the bride. Thank you, Lord, for what you have communicated. May we be excited to be a part of it and to do our part. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's start with a story. Bible studying with a gal recently. Study's going really well. And, you know, basically got the study through the thanks, through the help of Damien, but largely because this individual is looking out at what's happening in the world and seeing that it's evil. Not really necessarily a God-fearing person most of their life, but whenever you finally recognize evil, what must you accept? That there is good. So she thought I might know a thing or two about that because, you know, I walk around carrying a Bible. And so study's been good. Now, she sent me a video recently wanting to know what my thoughts were. And the video, which was 40 minutes long, went something like this. You guys remember the solar eclipse? Do you guys remember the comet that showed up in the sky right after the solar eclipse? That one was called the Devil's Comet. So that doesn't really help our case here all that much. Then the cicadas were prophesied to come out of hibernation, right? And then the water in Iran turned red. You guys remember this? That was a wild June, right? So this YouTuber who makes his living on being an influencer, beware kids, stay off this stuff. They only make money because you click on their link. And there's thousands of them, and so they're going to get you to click on their link because they're going to have the most wild stuff to watch. It went something like this. The book of Revelation says that the sun would be darkened, that the stars would fall from heaven, and that out of the darkness would come locusts, and God would turn the water to blood. And every single one of those events has happened right before us and are being fulfilled. You guys ever hear anything like that? Yeah. Well, I was 4 minutes into the video before I realized I was pretty unappreciative of this, because there was a lot of scripture being pulled out of context and just flat out wrong. Okay? Did the sun stop giving its light? Nope. Yeah, it just had a big object pass in front of it. Did the stars fall from heaven? Well, one did. But wait a second. Did even a single star fall from heaven? Nope. You know why? Where's my smart people? A comet is not a star. Thank you, you science people. And cicadas are not locusts. Thank you, you guys are doing so well. And algae has been turning water red for a long time, and I don't really have a good reason for that one, other than go ask Moses' magicians, because they've been doing it for a very long time. So there was nothing accurate or scriptural about this video. Now here's my point. Not limited to, but a large source of these kind of conspiracies and videos come from the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls from the book of Revelation. We read a trumpet just now. What's the lesson, brethren? Maybe this book isn't meant to be read literally. And hey, the day you show me one of these locusts, I will read the book literally. Armor on the breastplate, gold crown, lion teeth, man face, woman-like hair, scorpion stinging, and when it flies, it sounds like a chariot. Hey, you show me one of them and I'll read this thing literally. How about you? So the cicada is not a locust, and the locust that did came showed up because the wind blew, and that's just what bugs do. They move when the wind blows. But it didn't look like this, did it? So what we have to be able to do is unpackage that. My goal tonight is for you guys to have a better understanding of my topic, which is the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. That's why I joke I have a 21-point message tonight. And in case you haven't checked recently, that's only 10 of the 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. So let's get going. Couple things I want you, big picture. I'm going to pull a Mike Ferguson. We're going to fly over this thing real quick. That I want you to understand. The seals, there's seven, will progress to the trumpets. And the trumpets will parallel the bowls. So we have to understand that. And I don't know what's coming tomorrow other than some pretty, really cool preaching. But you've got to understand progressive parallelism in the book of Revelation. And my topic is especially important. There are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls of wrath. Those seven seals will progress and unlock the seven trumpets. Okay, so we've got seven seals, which will unlock seven trumpets that will then parallel seven bowls. Are we tracking? So what comes first? Seven seals. Those are going to progress into the trumpets, which parallel the bowls. Progressive parallel. Jay hit it out of the park. This guy knows a thing or two. Do you guys remember what he said when he came up here and kicked camp off? He said, Revelation is a series of stage plays. And he couldn't be more right. Because that's what's happening here. Chapter 5. A couple things we want to notice, too, before we jump in. Maybe I'll show us a couple examples of this. So, if you guys go to chapter 8 and put your finger there, okay? And then go forward to chapter 16. And I want you to look at how these trumpets and bowls parallel each other. So, trumpet and bowl. So, chapter 9, okay, chapter 8, verse 7, the first sounded. You're going to get that a lot tonight. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the, fill in the blank, earth. Flip forward to chapter 16, verse 2. The angel poured, this is a bowl of wrath being poured, right? His bowl on the, fill in the blank, earth. You got, okay, flip back, chapter 8, verse 8, second angel, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Flip forward, chapter 16, verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea. These parallel each other. You're going to see that they're directed towards the Euphrates. You're going to see that the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal both unlock and relate to final judgment. These parallel each other. This will make sense as we go through it. The seals progress to the trumpets, which parallel the bowls. Here's how I think about it. A trumpet. The trumpets in the book of Revelation are warnings. Okay? The bowls are the outpouring of the wrath to those who did not heed the warning of the trumpet. Okay? So, it might sound a little bit like this. If you, who can I pick on? Brian, you park that rig in front of my driveway one more time. I'm going to tow it. What was that? Okay. Now, he comes over and he parks his car in front of my driveway. So now what? Tow truck comes and takes the car. That's it. The following through of the judgment and the pouring out of what I said was coming. And then we'll see how these can work with one another. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. It says, I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on back, sealed up with seven seals. So we've got a scroll with seven seals on it. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, is able is so as to open the book and its seven seals. Our commander, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who can open the scroll and its seven seals. I love how that was brought out. This book is about Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. If you're looking at the book of Revelation to figure out when the last day on earth is going to be, you're going to post YouTube material like I just explained to you. And you're going to call a locust a cicada. This book's about Jesus. And the book of Revelation is about our King's victory over the devil. Amen? Is that exciting stuff? Hope we better understand the seals, trumpets, and bowls. So the seals are in a section in the book of Revelation, largely the first 11 chapters, that is primarily focused on the struggle that the church has against the world. Does that make sense? We find the seals in a section in the book of Revelation that is largely focused on the struggles that the church faces at the hands of the world. Then the latter half of the book of Revelation is going to be the reason behind that struggle, which is the battle between good and evil, which is Jesus and the dragon. And stay tuned. That's right after me. So, what that means then, the hard times, the businesses closing, the viruses spreading, the inflation, the death, the taxes, is the church immune to that stuff? That's what the seals communicate. specifically war, famine, pestilence, and death are all experienced by the church. And God is using these tribulations to purify the church. Chapter 6 here, verse 1, let's read the seals. Then I saw, when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Then he broke the second seal, and I heard the second living creature saying, come. And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, and it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades following him. Authority was given him over a fourth of the sea to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. And when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. And I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black. It didn't say a moon passed in front of it, right? Okay, I was just checking. Became black as sackcloth, made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars fell from the sky of the earth. Not a comet. As a fig tree casts its unripe fruit when shaken by the great wind, and the sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand? The white horse, the rider being Jesus. I'll let whoever has chapter 19 confirm later. But whenever you see the conquering Christ coming, because that's the picture we have, right? These seals in a section in the book of Revelation dealing largely with the struggle that the church has with the world, and you see all the bad things that are happening in the world and who's been affected by it. Well, death came to Christians, right? Because they were martyred. And they're saying, when are you going to avenge us, Lord? This is bad stuff happening to the church. The seals. Dealing with the bad things on earth that the church is exposed to. Death, war, pestilence. Okay, but first we meet the rider on the white horse, Jesus. But what comes after Jesus always? Well, what did he say in the gospel? He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And what comes after the white horse and his rider in this chapter? The sword. Because those in the darkness hate the light. White horse, red horse, black horse. Pale horse. So it's not one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. White horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. I'll give you some tips to remember these things. The red horse, war. Black horse, famine. Pale horse, pestilence. And the fifth seal, death itself. The church. Not immune to these things. I mean, we've seen the mountains burn on the hillside outside of this very camp. And if the winds change, it's not like it magically skirts the church grounds here because we're the church. God allows these things to happen, but he allows them to happen to purify his bride. What does James say? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. God allows these things to happen so that we can build endurance. And he says, you let that endurance have its perfect result, so that you will become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Probably the greatest difference from the seals, which progress to the trumpets, which parallel the bowls, the greatest difference is the seals showing the struggle that we have to go through. Death visits people we love. How's the economy? Did you guys catch that in verse 6 of chapter 6? These are the kind of prices we have right now, by the way. You know, the price of milk and eggs through the roof. If anybody's got any oil or wine, like, save it. There's nothing left. Bad times come and they affect the church as well. God allows this to happen. Now here's the cool part. Chapter 7. Verse 1. After this, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth. The first time I ever read this, I was like, what on earth is going on? Anybody else? Yeah. And now that I understand it, it's this coolest picture ever. Four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And they're sitting here and they're waiting for the seventh seal because then they're going to let her go. And it's going to wipe it out. They're just waiting. You know, the kids were coming down the slide at the hotel pool where grandma's staying, and there's all this water coming out. But, you know, they want me to catch them at the bottom because it's 5 feet. So I'm sitting there, and this water is just blasting me in the face, and I'm trying to find the kid. You know, you got this angel, and this the wrath of God's coming. And they're like, they're holding it back. I'm like, can we let it go, Lord? And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. Whoa! Any idea who those people are? Christians. See, you've got God, and he's been up there for what feels like ever, looking at evil man, doing what it wants, time and time again. And now it's affecting his people, and the blood of the people who have died for the name of God is crying out, when are you going to avenge us? And he says, hold! Let me seal the Christians. What's the seal of the Christian, brethren? The Holy Spirit. Two specific places in the book of Ephesians that says directly the seal is the Holy Spirit. Are you thankful for the seal? You know what it makes you immune to? The wrath that's coming when the angels let go. Does that read a little different now? Chapter 8, verse 1. The Lamb breaks the seventh seal. What's the seventh seal going to open, y'all? See, I'm listening, Mike. Where are you at? I can do it, too. What's the seventh seal going to open? Someone please say it. Trumpets. Because it's going to progress. And that's what this book does. And when you can figure out when each stage play starts and ends, this whole book kind of actually starts to make a lot of sense. Doesn't it, brother? When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Any idea why there's silence in heaven? Mrs. Tuck was in the basement doing Mrs. Tuck Things, thank you so much for all your hard work. And there was nobody in the kitchen. It was the first time at family camp all weekend that I'd gone down there. And I was like, whoa, it is weirdly quiet down here. And she said, as anybody would say, it's just the calm before the storm. 400 of you, by the way, probably. So there's silence in heaven. What's that silence? Maybe the calm before the storm. You know why else it's silent? So the trumpets can be heard. Wake up! Verse 2, I saw seven angels stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar holding the golden censer. And much incense was given to them so that it might be added to the prayers of the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the seals have unlocked the trumpets. These trumpets, they communicate God's judgments. The saints, I really hope someone has to the end of chapter 7, because I'm skipping it on purpose, okay? The saints have been sealed, right? The trumpets are about to sound, and it's quiet, so everybody can hear them. And the prayers of the saints have ascended to the throne. What is God's answer to the prayers of the saints? The trumpets. Those who are crying out, when will you avenge us, O Lord? And the Lord's answer, many more are going to have to die like you've died. And when they have, then I'll come. And that prayer ascends to the throne. And God's answer is the trumpets. The function of the trumpet is to warn the wicked to turn away from their ungodly ways. Now I want to show us this here in 2 Thessalonians. Now I'm going to go quick, because I want to keep moving. But the purpose of the trumpet is to warn the wicked to turn from their wicked ways. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all of your persecutions and afflictions which you have endured. Maybe some of those seals, right? Maybe some of those seals, pestilence, poor economies, death. Maybe that's touched some of your families. That touched the families in Thessalonica. And he says, we thank you for your steadfastness, for your perseverance, because of your persecutions and your afflictions which you endure. Verse 5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for indeed you are suffering. So what does the Spirit teach us about the suffering of the church? The Holy Spirit is teaching us that the suffering of the church always points towards God's judgment of the ungodly. What did we see just happen in the book of Revelation? Bunch of seals, that the Lamb himself, our commander, is the only one who can open. Pop, 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 pop. War, death, taxes, pestilence. Right? What follows it? So that's the persecution of the saints, right? What follows it in the book of Revelation? God's warning call in his trumpets to warn the wicked to turn from their ways. Because what follows the persecution? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says that the persecution of the church itself is a clear indicator that God's judgment is coming. And that's exactly how it just played itself out here tonight. Chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8. What follows the persecution of the church? Trumpets of judgment. But the trumpets warn, right? Brian, don't park that car. It's a warning. Chapter 8, verse 7. The first sounded. It's a warning. What is it parallel? The bull. Okay, the seals have progressed and unlocked the whole deal. There came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded. What does it sound like? Okay, I'm going to put you to the test again, okay? Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea had had life died. And the third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Oh, it's not called the Devil's Comet. And a third of the waters became wormwood and made men die from the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth sounded, and a third of the sun, third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck so that a third of them would be darkened and the day would not shine for a third of it in the night in the same way. Then I looked and I heard an eagle flying in mid heaven saying a loud sound, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. We read the fifth one, right? That's when the man-faced, you know, woman-haired, crown-wearing, breastplated, stinging, flying cicadas, locusts show up and they just start stinging everybody. Okay? Well, what's a little different about that one? You guys remember the section we read in opening, right? And it said them locusts were not going to hurt the grass and the trees, or they were going to hurt the people, right? Is that what happened when bugs come into your town? No, they eat the trees and the grass. You know, they're just kind of a nuisance, but they're not gnawing on your arm. Well, it's not what... And it says that those who are afflicted by these lion teeth things will want to die, and they can't. And they will only suffer. And you know why? Because this is spiritual agony. Whew. Maybe people would be listening to the trumpets, huh? So we read that one. Verse 13, chapter 9. The sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which was before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day and month and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. How many people are dying every time? Do you notice that? A third? Let's just put that one in the memory bank and come back to it later. Am I going too fast here? The seals? Is the church immune to the seals? Death and taxes come for us all, right? Okay, but they progress and they unlock the trumpets. Now the Christians have been sealed. The trumpets are not for you, brethren. They're for the wicked who would dare lay a hand against God's people. Just remain faithful. Stay on the right side. Okay? But this is a third. Now let's remember that. Verse 16, a number of the armies of the horsemen who had 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses, those who sat on them, the riders had breastplates, the color of fire and hyacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceeded fire and smoke and brimstone. Again, show me this creature and I will read this book literally. What's coming? Spiritual agony on a level you could never imagine. You don't listen to God's warnings. A third of mankind was killed by these plagues, by the fire of smoke, brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouths, for the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and have heads whom they were to harm. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands so as to not worship the demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. More to come on them later. So why is it that when a tsunami hits the land, which the trumpets cover both of them, right? Destruction on the land, destruction at sea. A tsunami is the sea hitting the land, right? How come whenever that happens, people lose their mind and they make outrageous YouTube videos? Because they think this book is about being able to identify the end times. Is that what the book of Revelation is about? It's about Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. Great point. Okay. So, all right. Well, Nolan, why does he throw the fireball at the earth and it turns to blood? I mean, that's got to mean something, right? Well, yeah. Here's what you got to take away from it. Earth, sea, rivers, sun, moon, stars. Where does that leave you to hide? That's the point. But the water turned to blood, you know? It's like, okay, so. Look, the trumpets, which are the warnings before the bowls of God's wrath, is about to be released on those who did not turn and continued to practice their wicked immorality and idolatry. Look, it's thrown all these places to communicate. There's no place to hide. And you find any place on earth, you're going to ask the rock itself to try to protect you, like we read. It ain't going to help. The first four, you know, they affect in a physical way, too, as well. I mean, there's application there. And the last three, spiritual, for sure. This agony that comes on those who would dare raise their hand against God's anointed. I mean, in the last three, hell itself is let loose. The trumpets have sounded. The meaning is clear. The Lord will punish those who would persecute His church. Because persecuting the church is the same thing as persecuting Jesus. Look, I never really have an idea of how this is going to come out, but it's pretty serious tonight, isn't it? But that serious, and you know, look, I'm pretty fiery, Mark warned you. But that's not just coming from me, is it? I mean, this is God's love for His people, His desire for righteousness, and His hatred for wickedness. But He still warns. And He is just and the justifier. He has come and paid the price. We heard that this weekend. That's serious. You dare lift up your hand and persecute the church of the living God. And the reason God cares so much is because persecuting the church is the same thing as raising up a hand against Jesus Christ Himself. Revelation chapter 11. If you look at verse 15, I'll take this one. The seventh angel sounds. Oh, good. Who was that? Was that a Harbor girl? Yeah, that was really good. I'm going to come back to you later, okay? Jump down to verse 18 here. The nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of His covenant appeared in the temple, and there were flashes of lightning, and the sounds of peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a great hailstorm, judgment. The thing that the seventh trumpet and the seventh bowl will parallel is they both... Well, one introduces the idea of final judgment, and the bowl is the execution of it. But notice what the Christians are doing, right? They were already partying. because they've been sealed, brethren. That's important. I think I got a third point I really want you to take away from tonight. But if you take anything so far, it's that when you read this book, understand that the seals progress to the trumpets, which, as I showed you, will parallel the bowls. The trumpets are the warning. Repent. And the bowls are God's wrath being poured out on those who don't heed the warning. The second thing that I want you to see tonight is that God's people have been sealed. Trumpet isn't for you. God's made you new. The third one we'll see here at the end. So the world continues to sin in its arrogance, flying right in the face of God. What do you think that's going to unlock? Bowls of wrath. Chapter 16. The bowls, the seven bowls. So would that be point 15? How are we doing? Doing pretty good, huh? We're on point 15. Okay. The bowls focus on judgment for those who do not repent at the sound of the trumpets. Brother, there's strange teachings out there that hell doesn't exist. And that somehow bad people just disappear into the ether. I've actually got a couple Bible studies because of that. People wanting to know. One guy is actually a Christian in Assemblies and Billings. His dad died. He was taught his entire life that there's no hell. There's no. And he was just like, man, that just, it took him being until he was, my age and kids grown and his dad dying to finally realize, hey, there's probably a little more to this life than this life. And that's how I got that Bible study, and that's how he became a disciple of Christ. But there's strange teachings out there that somehow hell doesn't exist. And bad people just vanish. Is that what this book teaches? It is not. John, look at chapter 16, verse 1. He says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. John hears a loud voice from the Almighty Father, and God is angry because of the refusal for the wicked to repent. Verse 2, the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became loathsome and a malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped its image. It was poured out where? On the earth. The trumpet was on the earth. These parallel each other. This is the pouring out of the wrath for those who didn't obey or heed the warning of the trumpet. Why is it going to the earth? Because the same story is going to play itself out. You can't hide from God's judgment. The sun, moon, and stars aren't options either, people. He covers those. I always find that interesting. You know where you're going to hide. In the sea? In the bottom of a river? Somewhere on the earth? In a cave? God's got them covered. And he's coming. What I want us to see here before we read these bowls is that these aren't fixed. And that's what people do. And mankind's fleshly. And he's got to make things physical. And that's why you get the majority of your false teachings. You guys understand that? The majority of your false teachings in the Bible come because man is fleshly and he makes things physical rather than spiritual. And people fixate on this stuff. But it does not mean that a trumpet only is a trumpet and that a bowl is only a bowl. I remember Luke said this years ago, and it just stuck with me. Lots of things have stuck with me over the years. And he said, look at Ananias. Where are you, Luke? I don't know if you remember saying this. He said, think of, I don't know if we were going through this. I've asked you so many questions. He said, think of it like Ananias and Sapphira. I don't know if you remember this. Okay? They were dishonest, right? What was their punishment? Death? Could we call that a bowl of God's wrath? Could we call that a bowl of God's wrath? What was it to everyone else surrounding them? God is, he knows what he's doing. So credit Brother Luke for teaching me that one. The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it becomes malignant sores. Does that play itself out in the book of Acts? Is there a king who just drops dead, King Herod? I mean, this stuff's real. Okay. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea and it became blood. Look at the foreshadow for the plagues in Egypt, right? Like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Now, this is where a bowl is different, other than it's the pouring out. And I want you to notice this. In the trumpets, how many consistently died? How many died here? All. See, that's the difference. The first one is a warning. Many will not heed that warning. Many will fall. Okay? But could you imagine if, like, the sea smashed into the land and then a third of a town died? I mean, how many YouTube videos would we get if that happened? Well, it says the earth, you know, and then the water runoff was like a little bit of a rustic color. Like, people would lose their minds. And that's not the point. Show me a locust with lion teeth and ladylike hair, and I will read this thing literally. The point is, there's nowhere to hide, and this bowl is the wrath of God, and the rest are going down. Verse 4, he says, the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who were, O Holy One, because you judge these things, for they poured out blood of the saints. You see that? That's their charge. They would lift their hands against the church. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you gave them blood to drink. They deserve it. God repays. Vengeance is the Lord's. Verse 7, I threw that part in. Verse 7, and I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. Whew, don't do that. Who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Do not do that. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. They did not listen to the trumpets, brethren. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river of the Euphrates, and the water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, I'm glad that that beast gets named in this chapter. Excited to hear about that. Three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for war, the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gather them together to the place which in the Hebrew is called Harmageddon. Really cool imagery from the book of Judges. Don't have time. The picture here at the end is that just when it looks like the world is going to win and you showed up to a chariot fight with a stick, God's got your back. Because this book, particularly the book of Revelation, is about who? And his victory over the dragon. That's what the six angels teaching. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. One of the things that this video said, that now he knows for sure he's not crazy, is because New York experienced of an earthquake larger than it has experienced in 150 years. And then he quoted this verse. Hopefully you've joined me. We're winding down. It makes sense. You see how an earthquake in New York has nothing to do with this? I hope that you better understand the progression and how they parallel. Verse 19, the great city was split into three parts. This, you're going to hear all this stuff the rest of the weekend. The cities of the great nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And a huge hailstorm, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And the men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, because his plague was extremely severe. And even as God is judging them, they're blaspheming him. You know, the atheists and the scientists aren't arguing with God on Judgment Day. They're continuing to blaspheme his name as the hail falls. Here's what I'll leave you with. There are two people in the book of Revelation. Okay? Those who think pineapple go on pizza and those who are wrong. Man, I thought I was going to get booed out for that one. I got some pineapple people here, right? Some trumpeters? You guys have been great. Those two people that are actually in the book of Revelation are those who have been sealed by God and those who are going to hell. And that is it. There is so much more that could have been said. This is like a 5-year class if you want. So much that could be said. But what I want to leave you with is there are two groups of people. There are those who have been sealed by God. The trumpets are not for them. The trumpets are for those who would lift their hand up against the Almighty Jesus Christ in their arrogance, blaspheming him as he's pouring out wrath on them. They still continue to blaspheme his name. And then there are those who are going to get God's judgment. You've been sealed, amen? You got the Spirit of the living God in you? Been immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins to receive his Holy Spirit. That's the seal. You don't lose it. You remain faithful. I'll show us one more thing here. Chapter 10. Now, I have no problem going to chapter 10 because it's wedged right in the middle of the trumpets and it's really important, and I'll only read a couple verses. There was a split between the sixth and the seventh seal. Do you guys remember that? And that split was there, and we read it because that was the split where God seals his people before he introduces the seventh seal, which unlocks the trumpets. You see how important that is? That there's a gap there, and that God seals his people? Do you know where else there is a gap that I skipped on purpose? There is a gap between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. And I want to show you why that gap is there. So if you, on my page, if you look at chapter 9, verse 13, you see the sixth angel sounds the trumpet, right? And then if you flip the page and you look at chapter 11, verse 15, you see the seventh angel. So we have an entire chapter wedged between these. There is a gap between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And in chapter 10, in verse 8, it says, "Then the voice which I heard from heaven." Oh, brethren, so much that could be said. "I heard again speaking with me, saying, 'Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land.' So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, 'Take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey.'" Can you think of anything that's sweet in the mouth but bitter sometimes in the stomach? Not like, you know, your Cabbage Patch, you know, your little gummies, you know. I mean, like, spiritually. Verse 10, he says, "I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter." Have you ever felt this feeling, brethren? I have. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You realize what just happened? That's the gospel. Because it's the sweetest message on earth. But you know what follows the white horsed rider? A sword. A bitter feeling in your gut. Because some people don't make it. You have your own struggles. And if you will, and I ask you to, if you will, please open your inner man up so that Jesus can perform his work in you to conform you to into the image of Jesus Christ. And it is messy work. And it is extremely difficult. But we've got to let Jesus do it. It's the sweetest message in the whole world. But it leaves a bitter feeling in your stomach. Because guess what? There's bowls of wrath. And they're coming. And a lot of people ain't going to make it. So what's the church's answer to the gap between the trumpets, the sixth and the seventh trumpet? He said in verse 11, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Hey, the seals only opened by Jesus. The seventh one unlocks the trumpets, but the church is sealed first before the trumpets of warning judgment come. And those who don't heed that warning will incur the bowls of God's wrath. What are we doing in the meantime? There's a gap between the sixth and the seventh trumpets so that we will go and prophesy to the nations. We get to be the trumpeteers. We get to warn the people. Hey, God's judgment is coming. That is wrong. That is immoral. That is idolatrous. And he tells him, you go take that gospel, that sweet thing that can sometimes be bitter. And there's a gap there. So you go out in faith from here. You've got the seal. You remain faithful and go snatch one more for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you.